Gospel of John tonight, chapter 3, and we'll pick up in verse 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 19.
The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 19 reads this way. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together in your house amongst your people, Lord, in your church. We ask that you would bless your word to us, open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, Lord, that you might be highly honored and exalted and lifted up, and our lives again drawn closer to you, and that you would strengthen the faith and grace that you've given to us, that we might be faithful witnesses. Again, bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight the title of the message is "This is the Condemnation." And what we're dealing with really, or the focal point tonight, is going to be that we want to consider the condemnation of the world, but then also there is the believer's battlefield that we'll see here as well. And so tonight the three thoughts are going to be, it's the salvation of the world. This is the gospel or the good news. We'll see that here in just a moment. Then the second thought is that they walk in darkness, and this is the condemnation of the world. And then thirdly, they that walk in light, or the light of God, or we call this the believer's battlefield. This is where the battle is met by believers. You know, as a saved child of God, God did not call us just to park and just wait for the Lord. He's called us to move forward in our relationship with Him. And it's not just accumulating head knowledge, but it's growing in that grace and experience that God has given to us in our relationship with Him. So a relationship is healthy if it's moving forward, right? It's growing. We don't want a stagnant relationship where it's just kind of neither here nor there. We want to grow from grace to grace, from faith to faith, until we see the Lord. And we'll be found faithful in when we see Him. And the Lord really lays out some important truths here. And the first thought, let's just back up a little bit here to verse 16. And let's look at the salvation of the world, or the gospel, or the good news, which is the interpretation of the gospel. Verse 16 says this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then verse 17 says this: "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, the interesting thought about this is that the Lord is speaking to Nicodemus, who we know is a Pharisee, is a ruler of the Jews, and he didn't know these things that the Lord was talking to him about. And here's the thing, the Jewish people, right, in the Old Testament, they were the ones to whom God had privileged with the coming promise, the coming of the Messiah, the Savior that would be to the whole world. Now, before the Lord came on the scene, it was the Jewish people that God had chosen. Nothing in them. God had chosen them to bless them, that they would be the ones that would deliver the truth and the light to the whole world. But here's what happened. Somewhere along in their minds, and still today, in the ones that are blinded, realized, thought this, that it's going to be to the Jew and only to the Jew, and the Jew would be the one and the only one that would be able to distribute this truth. And that's why they didn't understand what the Lord was doing, and that He brought it to the whole world. Isn't that something? So in the mind of the Jew, they thought that they were always going to be the ones that would be ruling, and that the Messiah would come and set up the kingdom of heaven here on earth. But that's not the way that it worked. And so that's why they had a lot of misunderstandings. They didn't even know that the Messiah was going to suffer and die and shed His blood to be the atonement for our sins. So somewhere they made a disconnect between the picture of the sacrificial lamb that was sacrificed every year and the perfect Lamb of God, which was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord, why did the Lord choose them? And by the way, why would the Jew ever think that they should be the only ones to distribute the gospel? Now listen, We're all for the Jewish nation, and God has not forgotten them, but they have been set on the back burner, so to speak, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But here it is. What was so special about the Jewish people or the Hebrew people was God. That was it. Because they had failed the Lord. Even with Abraham, he failed the Lord. And then going on and through the time of Judges, every man did that was right in their own eyes. And then they set up idols and different things of that nature. So it wasn't because, certainly it wasn't because of anything that they did, but it was God's plan and program for the whole world. He started with the Jew, which were his people and still are, and then he now moved it on to propagate it throughout the whole world through the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles now, but it's the same truth. Amen? So the Lord was wanting to communicate this to Nicodemus, that he would understand what the truth is really all about. And we're going to see this progression here. So we find here that God is giving a revelation to Nicodemus about salvation and what it's really all about. And so again, to this point, maybe they thought that salvation was of the Jew only, and it would remain that way. But this was only in the mind of Jewish leaders for whatever reason. But the Bible tells us that God so loved the world. Isn't that amazing? That's all of fallen mankind. But listen, keep this thought in mind. But he did not love the fallen angels the same way. They were created beings. We were created beings. I don't understand it. I don't understand that. God died for all of humanity, but he certainly did not die, we know that, for angels. And yet those that rebelled against the Lord, they will be condemned forever in a place called hell. Now there's a lot of, listen, mark this down. Anytime there's a teaching that flies against the word of God, it's simply wrong. The Bible says that hell is a place of torment where the smoke never ends and their torment never stops. And yet there's a teaching today that's going around that God's not going to do that. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's a forever thing. Otherwise, then why preach the gospel if everybody's going to be in heaven? Why bother? Why would the Lord even come and die on the cross if everybody's going to end up in heaven? Why would he do that? God the Father was so adamantly opposed to sin, and the only way to spare us and to save us from our eternal damnation was to give us his Son. And that's what he did. So it doesn't make any sense. There's a little bit of this teaching that's going around, maybe more than I understand. But that's not the truth, and that's not the gospel. But the gospel news is that the Lord came. And here's the thing. The Lord was speaking to Nicodemus and telling him that even as Moses lifted up the serpent, right, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus knew he was born to come and to die for our salvation. And he willingly did that for you and I because he loved us. Now we want to move on to the next part. And here is they that walk in darkness, or the condemnation of the world. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now we want to focus in on this and figure and just look at this for a moment here and consider those that are walking in darkness. They hate the light. They love the darkness is what the Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the light, right? And so when this is brought up before people that are willingly wanting to walk in darkness, there's going to be a confrontation, but that doesn't mean that we should ever stop preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel light, because we never know where people are at in their hearts and in their minds and what God is doing in their lives that might pull them out of darkness, just as God pulled you and I out of darkness. Everybody who's ever been saved walked in darkness. Isn't that the truth? And praise the Lord for his mercy and grace on us, and for also all those that are yet to come to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we consider this, we find that God is giving a revelation to Nicodemus and to you and I of what the gospel light does in the hearts of men. To the child of God, it ought to draw us nearer to the Lord, and to those who are in darkness, of course, if they hate the light, they're going to resist it and want to walk away from it, but that shouldn't surprise us, and the Lord is wanting you and I to understand that. So here we see why evildoers seek concealment. They want to hide. They don't want this. They have a love affair with darkness. There's a sense of shame. They don't want to be reproved. And they have a fear of judgment. So this is all to fall upon the lost world. And so those are the first two thoughts here that we want to look at tonight. But I want to focus in on the last thought, and that is the believer's battlefield, or they that walk in the light. Because we need to take this seriously, right? So let me ask you this question. Does God want you and I to walk in the light as He is in the light? You know that truth, right? That's a biblical truth. Jesus wants us to walk in the light as He is in the light. And so let's consider this whole idea here of what walking in the light is all about. Look at verse 19 again, and let's consider those who are walking in darkness. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that's of course the Lord, and men loved darkness, and you and I were darkness at one time, rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And then notice this. For everyone that doeth evil, listen what they do. They hate the light. Those that do evil hate. But this is important, because you and I once were in darkness, and now we've been brought into the light. So how should you and I feel about darkness and evil? We should hate it, shouldn't we? We should want no part. We should have no compromise. We should give no quarter and no place for evil and darkness. And so we have to be upright with the Lord to walk in the light even as He is in the light. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have failures. We desire to walk in the light, and that we're not talking about sinless perfection. But boy, that ought to plague us. Amen. When we fail and when we stumble in the Lord, that's not a comfortable bed to lie in. That's like a bed of nails. You ever see those crazy people that lay on a bed of nails? I wouldn't even bother trying that, would you? But anyway, that's not a comfortable place. That's not where we would be comfortable. We would be very uncomfortable. But to the lost person, they are comfortable in darkness. But you and I should never be comfortable in darkness. So he says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Notice why. Lest his deeds should be what? Reproved or corrected. But that's not the case with you and I. When as a saved child of God, when we hear, question, is the Word of God also the light of God? It is, isn't it? So when the light of God enters into our lives, and we something that is in contradiction or in contrast to what the Word of God is saying, and because we are children of light, we love the light, and so we say, Lord, I need this. I don't want to make any compromise, and I will be the first one to admit, this is not right before You, Lord. What maybe something I've done, maybe something that I've been thinking, or whatever the case might be. When I see what the Word of God is saying, right away, I don't even have to haggle. I don't even have to make a deal, right? Remember the old show, Let's Make a Deal? No, we don't make a deal with wickedness and with evil. We just simply submit to the truth, right? So as soon as the Word of God enters in and says, this is the way that you want to walk in it, we need to walk up front with it, right? God, listen, God does not have Christians incognito or undercover Christians. And we don't do anyone any favors to creep in under the radar as a believer. No, it's a good thing to just be up front with people that you meet. Hey, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if they ask you to do something, hey, would you like a beer? Oh no, let me just tell you something. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't drink beer, right? Or if they ask you to do something or to something that would honor the Lord, we need to be right up front with people and say, listen, I love the Lord. The Lord loves me, and therefore I belong to Him, right? I was reminded of one fellow that used to ride a subway many years ago. And anyway, these guys were getting this little, I don't know if it was dice or a card game that they were playing. They were gambling back there. And this fellow used to hang around with them, but he had gotten saved. And he told his friends, he said, they asked him, come on in, we need a fifth person in this game here, and come and join us. And he says, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have any hands today to play. The hands I have, they said, what do you mean? He said, the hands I have don't belong to me anymore. They belong to my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the money that he's given me belongs to him. And everything that I have, he bought with his price, right? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, did he just buy our physical person and our physical things? Or did he buy our soul, amen, who we are? He bought everything, didn't he? And so we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we want to use the word of God as the light that God has called it to be in the truth, and we want to walk upright in the truth. Why do we say that? It's a battlefield. This is the believer's battlefield, see? And we need to be moving forward in the battle for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be believers that are walking in the light, because that is going to give us a testimony in a dark and dying world of the truth in the love of God. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to go out there and say, you guys are darkness and evil and all. They know that. They know that. But let the light shine in our lives. We don't need to point a finger to them. Let them see the difference in us. We don't need to. Nobody needed to tell us we were sinners when we got saved, did they? I promise you, you don't need to tell a person that's lost and in darkness that they're in darkness. They know they're in darkness. They have to talk to themselves every night and convince themselves that what they're doing is okay, because they don't want to be reproved. They know there's coming a day. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to admit. They would like to think that when we leave this life, that's it. It's all over. But it's not. That's just the beginning, isn't it? Eternity is a long time. But here's the thing. If we're ever to be able to glorify the Lord and help people in darkness as the Lord came to help people in darkness, which you and I were one, right? You and I were in darkness. It was because of the light of God, and God has privileged us to walk in his light that the world might see him. And so we cannot compromise. Listen, if God says this is right, then we stand for what's right. If God says this is wrong, then we stand and we say this is wrong. In our own lives, not to anybody else, we must adhere to the truth of God's word in our own life. And this way we are bringing God in. Lord, here's the truth. I cannot and you cannot and we cannot do anything for the Lord without the Lord. We will never be successful until we say, God, we need you to enable us to walk in your truth. And so anytime I fail, it's because I'm trying to do it in my strength. And Lord, I need you. I need to be dependent upon you for your honor and glory, and that the world might see your witness in our own lives. So notice again, verse 21. But he that doeth truth, and that's the saved child of God. But he that doeth truth, what do they do? They cometh to the light. Did you see that? The light is the truth of God's word. So we're not just, well, you know, nobody will know. It doesn't really matter at this time. I mean, just this once. No. That's dark. We come to the light. And we shun the darkness. See, we've got to be serious in our own personal lives. Listen, you and I know what is right and wrong. And if we're seeking the right, God will let us know even the things that we may not know. He'll let us know that those things are not right, as long as we're seeking the truth. So notice again, verse 21. But he that doeth truth. So what is it? Listen, did you see that? He that what? Doeth truth. They're doing it. They're doing something, right? And what is that? They're doing the truth. So that means we have to live the truth in our own personal lives. And that means we're calling upon the Lord. Lord, today, your kingdom, as it is in heaven, may it be in my life. May I walk according to your righteousness and according to your will for my life. And that is the will of God, that you and I walk in the truth and walk in the light as he is in the light. So notice verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? Listen to this. That his deeds may be made manifest. What? That they are wrought how? They are brought forth how? In God. Now fathom this thought very quickly. Ready? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Why? That his deeds may be made manifest. We're not hiding anything. Notice this, that they are wrought in God. They are brought forth in the Lord. It has to be in God, right? very quickly, and we're going to finish up. We're done right here in the Gospel of John. Let me bring you over to Ephesians just for a moment here. Then we're going to finish up right here. I don't know if I'll get through this. I'm going to try very quickly. I'm just going to read to you, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to see what the Lord is saying here. We're talking about walking in the light as He is in the light, being followers of the Lord. This is the Christian's battlefield, the believer's battlefield. We already understand the salvation of God. We've received that. And what the world is walking in is in darkness, but you and I are to be walking in the light. Notice this, verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and some uncleanness? No, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once, that means not one time, named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience will say, oh, it's okay if you do that. What do they know? They're going to tell you, oh, listen, it's okay. I do it all the time. Yeah, because you're in darkness, and I'm not walking that way anymore. I'm walking in the light. Notice this. Verse 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye what? Light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That means, in other words, I'm sorry, I don't gamble anymore, right? I never did gamble. I did one time, I'm telling myself. I was 15, I think, with some of my friends, and I lost a dollar. I think they were betting nickels. I don't know. I don't even know how to play poker, to be quite honest with you. They were sitting down, they were playing. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. Anyway, so no matter what it is, right, that we walk in the light as He is in the light. Notice verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So it's a revealer. Wherefore He saith, listen to this, awake thou that sleepest. Who's He talking to? Ephesian believers. Awake. In other words, believer, wake up. Is it possible for believers to be asleep? Absolutely. Is it possible for believers to be lukewarm? Absolutely. Set my soul on fire, Lord, that I might be hot for the truth and in the light, right? I don't want to just, we're all Christians, it's okay. No, it's not okay. If it's against the Word of God, we need to walk upright as He's called us to, and that He's our rule and not our conscience or somebody else's conscience, but the Word of God is to rule and reign and direct our lives for the glory of God. See, we need to be serious in our walk with the Lord. It's not just because of, you know, my faithfulness to, and this is, it's all good, but our personal life belongs to the Lord for His honor and glory. So what does He say? He says, verse 14, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall do what? Give thee light. Isn't that amazing? In other words, come to the agreement, Lord, I've allowed some things in my life that I don't want to allow anymore. In fact, Lord, I'm giving You how much of my life? All of it. It all belongs to You. Every area of my life. The things I see, the things I hear, the things I do, may they all be to Your honor and glory. Right? Everything, all those things for the glory of God. And so God gives us light. Christ gives us light. Notice this, because of that, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, and that means completely focused in the circumference, right? You're watching every area of your life, not as fools, but as wise. Listen to this. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, and it's possible for a believer to be unwise, but understanding, listen to this, what the will of the Lord is. And then we're going to finish with this last verse. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. That's the power of God for the believer. So tonight, we know what the condemnation is. We know what salvation is. And we also know that God's people are to walk in the light, even as He is in the light. And all we have to do in order to do that is to have a willingness. Lord, He's not talking about sinless perfection, but Lord, if I stumble in the dark, I'm not going to hang out there, right? If I see something that's against Your word, whatever it might be, don't compromise with the littlest things. Why? Because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. It's being a little over here and a little over there. It's like I've mentioned to brother Tom and brother Roger, because they do carpentry work. If you're putting up a wall, can you be off 1 inch? Because if you're off 1 inch here, what's going to happen when you get down the road? You're going to be way off, right? And if we just compromise a little bit here and a little bit there, we're going to find ourselves asleep. So God is saying, listen, the salvation of the Lord is drawing nigh. It's high time for us to be alert and on fire by the grace of God for the glory of God. Amen? Would you stand as we pray and prepare for prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the reminder, Lord, that You've given to us. And Lord, the promises that You've given to us in salvation. Lord, You've indwelt us with Your Holy Spirit. All You've asked us to do is to follow You and to call upon You to help us. And Lord, we desperately need Your help. May You bring that before our hearts and minds on a daily basis, that we might be invigorated, Lord, and draw closer to You and seek You with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.